The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
This week's Parsha is Parshas Vayakel. The Torah tells us at the beginning of Vayakel, right after the first few psukim, that Moshe gathered everyone together, and he said, "Zeh hadover asher tziva Hashem lemor." This is what Hashem has commanded: "Kekhu mi'itchem truma l'Hashem." Take from yourselves truma, offerings, kol nediv libay, whose ever hearts uplifts him to contribute. Yibiel eis trumas Hashem. He should bring the offerings to Hashem, zohav v'chesed v'nechoshes, gold and silver and copper, skelis v'argomon, the blue wool, the purple wool, shalashoni, scarlet wool, sheish, the linen, the izim, the goat's hair, oros elim v'adomim, the skins from the rams, which are dyed red, oros tochoshim, there was a special animal with a coat of many beautiful colors that was created just for the sanctuary. It was called the Tachash, the skins of the Tachash, Atzei Shittim. This was a very, very precious wood from one of the species of the cedar trees. Shemen Lamo'or, Besamim, La Shemen Amishcha, the oils which were necessary, the incense, Likteira Sesamim, the perfumes, the Abnei Sheyem, Abnei Meluim, all of the precious stones, La Eifor V'Lachoshen, for the big day kahuna, the garments of the Kohen, and it has now come the time to build with all of this the Mishkan, the sanctuary. It states a little further that the people brought, and in Pasuk Chof Aleph, by a vocal Isha Shenaso Libay, every man whose heart was uplifted, and every person whose spirit was that of a generous spirit, he brought his offerings to Hashem, Lemelechas Eil Maid, for the works of the Ohel Maid, the sanctuary, Chola Bodosai, Ulabigde Hakodesh. And then it mentions that the women also brought with great generosity. And then it states in a little further in Pasuk Hey Perek Lamed Vav Vayemru El Meisha Lemor, and they said to Meisha, Marbi Mom Lovi, the nation is bringing too much. They're bringing more than is necessary. So Moshe sent out a message to the whole camp saying, Ish v'isha al yasu od maloch lishrumus hakodesh, that no man or woman should do anything more for the offerings of the Kodesh, because it's already too much. So the people stopped bringing, and everything that came for the Mishkan was not only sufficient but was more than sufficient. It was left over. In Parshas Truma, where the Torah begins to tell us about all of these articles which the people were asked to bring, so there it states, Daber al b'nei Yisrael v'yikru li truma, speak to the children of Israel and bring for me truma. Truma means an offering. Me'eis kol isha sheyidvenu libay tikru es trumosi, from every person whose heart is generous, take from him trumosi, an offering. V'zeis ha'truma, and this is the truma, this is the offering which should be brought, which you should take from them. And then it goes to itemize these things again. And Rashi tells us from the sages, he says, that firstly, Yud Gimel Dvorim Amurim Binyan, there was 13 different types of things which were needed for the Mishkan, the gold, the silver, the copper, and so forth. But then he says, Omur Rabbeinu Gimel Truma is Amurus Kav. Three times does it say Truma. It says, Vayichuli Truma, take from me Truma, Me'ez Kol Isha She'yidvernu Libo Tiku Es Trumasi. And then again, Zeisha Truma. Why does it say three times offerings? So Rashi explains, we are speaking about three different types of offerings. Echot Trumas Beka Legagulis, Legogalis Shenasu Mehem Adonim. There was one Truma, which is a Beka, a half of shekel, which was taken from each person. And from the half of shekel, of a silver shekel, was made the Adonim. Kimesha Meforish Ela Pekudei were made the copper basis for the crushing, for the huge beams of wood which formed the walls, the actual structure of the Mishkan. Achas Trumas HaMizbeach, Beka LaGogales, a second half of shekel was taken from everyone. LeKupais Liknais Ben Korbonas Sibur, and this was put in the Kupa, this was put in the treasury. And from this were brought the Korbonas HaTzibur, all of the public, the national sacrifices, which were brought on a daily basis, or on a weekly basis. For example, every day there was the Tomid Shel Shachris and the Tomid Shel Ben Abayim. Every day, early in the morning, a sacrifice was brought. That's Vidavan Shachris, to correlate with that. And then again in the late afternoon, another one was brought, and that's Mincha. And on Shabbos, we have extra tefillos. That's because there were musafim, there were extra korbanos brought. So all of these sacrifices came on behalf of the nation, so therefore everyone had to be a shutef, a partner in it. So for that, they contributed an additional truma, a half a shekel. And this actually was a truma that was brought each year. And then there was a third truma. And the third truma was Trumas HaMishkan, all of the necessities for the building of the Mishkan, of the sanctuary. And that was not a set amount like the first two, but that was Nidvas Kol Echod VeEchod, that was in accordance to what each one individually wanted to contribute. So that's why it states three Trumas, because there were three different offerings. One Machzis HaShekel, and from that half of shekel, half a silver shekel, this was known as the Shekel HaKodesh. The Shekel HaKodesh was a larger shekel. These were melted down, and from there were made the basis of the crossing of the huge beams which formed the structure of the Mishkan. Another half of shekel everyone had to bring, and that was an annual contribution. And that was put into the treasury, and from there were bought the Korbanos HaTzibur, the public sacrifices, so everyone would be a shutef. These two were set amounts. Osher LeYarbe, Boni LeMaid. The wealthy could not give more, and the poor could not give less, in order that everyone should be an equal partner. Then a third truma, a third contribution, and that was for all of these necessities which were itemized here that were needed for the building of the sanctuary. In Parshas Kisiso, we have it spelled out a little clearer. And incidentally, this week we will lay Parshas Kisiso together with Parshas Vayakel, because this Shabbos is Parshas Shkolim. And we always lay this because, as I mentioned, one of these half of shekels was an annual contribution. And they would start, the Beis Din would start to collect the half of shekolim in the month of Adar. So when it comes to this year's two Ados, so we laid it right before Ado Sheni, but usually on Shabbos Mevorchim of Ador is when we start to read this parsha. So there it states in the beginning of Kisiso, you should count the people, but when you count them, you must not count them outright, because this can cause a plague, heaven forbid, to Klal Yisrael. So how would you count them? Everyone must give. Zeh itnu kol ever al pekudim machzis hashekel b'shekel hakodesh. anyone who is Eved al Kakudim, anyone who is old enough for national service for the army that was 20 years old, he would give a half a shekel from the shekel HaKodesh, and then they would count the coins. Now, how big was the shekel? So the Torah tells us, Esrim Geira HaShekel. Because a coin has different weights. It was silver, but how much silver was in it? 20 geiros. That would be a geira as a certain measure. It would be similar. It's not the same measure, but it's like you would say, how large is the Kruger Ram, or is a silver rand, and they will tell you how many grams, or how many times it's measured by equivalent to how many pieces of wheat, or other things like that. So this was Esrim Geira, it was 20 Geira HaShekel, and therefore a Machasis HaShekel, a half a shekel, would be 10 Geira. Oshela Yarbi, Vadalo Yami, Machasis HaShekel. And the wealthy should not give more, and the poor should not give less. And again, Rashi here brings the Chazal that we are dealing here with three types of trumas. And it states here also, lechaper, the truma is lechaper al nafshei seichan. The truma is to bring a kapor, an atonement for their nefesh, for their lives. Now, what is this referring to? So, this was referring to the half of shekel which went for the korbanos hatzibur, for the public sacrifices, because the sacrifices were to atone. And then Rashi adds, dover acher, this also means to atone for the egel azor, for the golden calf, because the entire mishkan, the entire sanctuary, was actually an atonement for the golden calf. Why do we say that? Because the Mishkan represented the Shekhinah Hashem. Kodesh Baruch Hu said, build for me a sanctuary that I may dwell amongst you. The word Mishkan comes from the word Shochein, to means to dwell, and that's where the word Shekhinah comes from. When Klal Yisrael, after Hashem gave Torah to Klal Yisrael, he said, I've given you my Torah, now I must dwell amongst you. Actually, the Medrash says that the Torah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is like an only daughter to a very, very great king. And when he marries off his only daughter, he says that I'm in a predicament because I don't want her to leave. On the other hand, I want her to get married to this prince. So what should I do? So the king tells the prince, do me this favor, that wherever you go, build a little house for me also, that I may come and dwell with you. Kach omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So did HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I have given you my Torah. My Torah is my most precious daughter. I cannot be without her. Take it back, I can't, because I've already given it to you. So do this favor for me. Now, wherever you go, build a home for me also. That's why it states, build for me a sanctuary and I shall dwell amongst you. But when Moshe came down from the mountain after 40 days and he saw that they had made the golden calf, he broke the tablets. Actually, on our Parshas Mishpatim, which was our anniversary, we had the chief rabbi as our guest. He asked a very good question. He kind of commented, firstly, you see a rabbi can get angry. But secondly, he said, how did Moshe have a right to break the tablets? Would you ever think of a rabbi getting angry and taking out Chas v'Shalom, a Sefer Torah, and throw it down? These were the tablets, the Luchei Sabris. So he said an answer which is very true. They had lost their sanctity. What did HaKadosh Baruch Hu give Torah to Klal Yisrael for? He gave the tablets to Klal Yisrael that they should be his nation. They were, the Gemara says, it was like a kala to Hashem. And now they went off to the Egel Azor, to idolatry. So the tablets were worthless. They had lost their sanctity. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that I will not go amongst this nation because I get so angry from them. I can destroy them just like that. He told Moshe, you deal with them. I can't. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu took his Shechina out of Klal Yisrael. So it states that the building of the Mishkan was Eidus Lakol, was a testimony to everyone that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has returned to Klal Yisrael. And this, the Mishkan was built only the day after the Yom Kippur. That's when it started, because that's when Moshe finally came down with the second tablets. And that was the day after Yom Kippur, because on Yom Kippur, well, Moshe actually came down on Yom Kippur, because on Yom Kippur is when Kapora, atonement, came to the world. So the Mishkan was a testimony that HaKadosh Baruch Hu forgave Klal Yisrael, and he atoned them for the sin of the golden calf, and he returned his Shechinah to dwell amongst them. So this was the Lechaper on Afshesecha, to atone for them. Rashi brings the Medrash, which states, and the Pasuk in Kisiso, Yud Gimel, Ze Yitnu, this is what you shall, this is what they shall give. This is what they shall give. What does it mean, this is what they shall give? So Rashi says, from the Medrash, Herele Kemin Matbeah Shel Esh, he showed Moshe a matbeah, a coin made out of fire. Umishkolo, and its weight was Machasis HaShekel, was the weight of the half a shekel. The Omel Kezeh Yitnu, and he said to him, this is what they should give. There's actually a different text in some of the Midrashim or the Yishalmi, which states not only he showed Moshe a shekel, a fire, but mitachas kisei hakovod, he took it out from his throne. Now, the question is that whenever we find that he had to show Moshe something and said zeh, that was because niskasha Moshe b'dovra. Moshe was having difficulty understanding it. For example, the menorah he had to show, because Moshe had difficulty comprehending it. What was so difficult to comprehend here? Kodesh Baruch Hu said that everybody must give half a coin. Now, everybody knows what a coin is. And a half a coin. And the measurement and the weight is described. So what did he have to show Moshe? Zeyitnu, and bring it from the Kisei HaKovod. So the Gorayi, the Maral in the Gorayi explains, because why should a coin be able to bring kapora? A coin is something which is made purely by human arbitration. A king or a government, they are the ones who determine what a coin should be. For example, you have a Kruger Rand. Who determines what a Kruger Rand should be? This is the national mint. You have a silver rand. You have a silver dollar. You have a Canadian dollar. You have an Australian dollar. So therefore, what should that have to do with atoning to Klal Yisrael? Bring a coin which is just an amount that is taken for whatever reason they find is necessary. So on that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed him that we're not dealing here with governmental coins or national coins. We are dealing here with the Shekel HaKodesh. The Shekel HaKodesh was different than the regular shekel. Actually, you go to the government of Israel today, and they're always coining new coins, and they're making money and evaluating it, devaluating it, and so forth and so on. No, this was the Shekel HaKodesh. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu spelled out for Moshe, what is the Shekel HaKodesh? Esrim Geiro, 20, the weight of 20 Geiro, not more and not less. And they must give Machasis, half of that, which is 10 Geiro. And this is what he had to explain to Moshe Rabbeinu. What was the great Chochmah? Well, if it's decided by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then there must be great Chochmah, great wisdom in the coin. What was some of the great wisdom in the coin? So the Maral explains. He says as follows. The Mishkan, And that's when they were bringing this. This was the kapara, the atonement for the golden calf, as we have described. They sinned in three ways with the golden calf. They sinned through their seichel, idolatry, aveda zara. That's the chet of a person's mind that comes from an ideology. They made for themselves a new god. And that's part of the nefesh o'odom, that's part of the life of the person. It's not part of merely the physical matter of the person. So that was one sin. A second sin is they sinned with their physical bodies, because they went and they bowed to the god. It states they went and they danced before the god, and they did all kinds of things like that. So there was a sin of their physical bodies. Thirdly, there was a third way they sinned, and that was with their wealth. Also, Laham Elohei Zohov. Kodesh Baruch Hu said, they have gone and they made themselves a god of gold. Actually, Moshe was always trying to be Malamed Zchus, was always trying to find merit for Klal Yisrael. So he pointed the finger at Kodesh Baruch Hu. He said, it's your fault, because you gave them so much gold. So they went and they made a golden god. But at any rate, they went and they collected all of the gold. And they tried to collect from the women, but the women wouldn't give up their gold, because they didn't. The women actually had not sinned in this. So they sinned also through their wealth, through their gold. Because of this, now, they needed a kapora for all three. For their nefesh, that's the life of a person, for their physical bodies, and for their wealth. The Adam HaSholem, man in his totality, is made up of 20 different parts, 20 specific important parts. How do we know this? This is a braisa in Masechta Nida. The Raisa says as follows, and this is on Daf Lamed Aleph. One second. Yeah, it states, Shlei Tonu Rabbonu, the rabbis taught, Shlei Sheshutfim Yesh Ba'odam. There are three partners in the creation of man. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ve'ovi Ve'imai. There's Hashem. There's a person's father and a person's mother. All three participate in the creation of the child. And each one plays a different role. Ovi Mazriya Levin, Shemimena Atzomes Vigidim Utsofanim, Svanayim Umeach Shibereshai Veleben Shibaim. The father, he gives forth a white seed. So we find five important particulars in the child which are white. And that's his bone structure, his muscle and tendon structure, his fingernails, the matter, the brain matter in his head, and the white of his eye. So the father contributes five particulars. Imai mizaras odem. The seed of the mother is red. So from here, she also contributes five important particulars, which are red. The or, the skin, the bosor, the flesh, the blood, the dam. The reason why I'm pausing here, there's some questions as to what the correct text is here. All right, the dam, the blood, the sares, the hair, and shocha shiba'ayin. and the blackness, the darkness of the eye. In case we might wonder, why does it, we said that she contributes what's red in the child. It says shochar is the darkness of the eye, and hair is not necessarily red. But the Gemara tells us that actually black comes from red. It's of the same basis of color. All right. So this is 10 different ingredients between the father and the mother. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu Nasim Bei. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives 10 ingredients. He gives the Ruach, that's the spirit, the Neshama, that's the soul. He gives the cluster upon him, the radiance of the face, the Riyas Ha'ayin, the power of sight, the Shmiyas Ha'ozen, the power to hear, the Dibur Peh, the power of speech, the Hiluch Raglayim, the motivation to walk, the Bino, the understanding. What, 1 minute? There's a text here. The Das, the Bino, and the Heskel. The three levels of intelligence. Das, Bino, and Heskel. So, the Kodesh Baruch Hu gives 10. Now, if we add this all up, there are 20. The father gives 5, the mother gives 5, and the Kodesh Baruch Hu gives 10. So there are 20. But there's a basic difference between the contribution of the father and mother and the contribution of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The contribution of the father and mother are all physical. We're talking about the skin and the flesh and the hair and the fingernails and the muscles and the tendons and so forth, the bones, and even the, we're speaking of the eye, but not the power of sight, the darkness of the eye or the whiteness of the eye or even the brain matter. That's the physical structure of the brain and the physical structure of the eye and so forth. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, his 10 contributions are all bilti gashmi, are non-physical. He gives the spirit and the soul and the radiance of the face and the power of sight. A person can have a physical eye, but he not necessarily can see. So he gives the power of sight and the power of hearing and the power of speech and the ability to move. The ability to move, you have to have a ruach chayim, you have to be alive to move. And then the levels of intelligence. Now, kiven shegiyas manu lipotu min ha'olam, when it comes time for a person to leave this world, HaKadosh Baruch Hu neitel chelek, chelkai. HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes and he takes all of his ingredients. B'chelek ovivim ha'meneach lifnehem. And the parts which the father and mother contributed, that he leaves in front of them. So that's the physical matter of the body. This is what the Baraisa tells us. So the Maral says, you see from here that there are 20 vital, critical elements in the Odama Sholem, in the total man. 5 by the father, 5 by the mother, and 10 by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's why the shekel hasholem, this shekel which was HaKadosh Baruch Hu's coin, he made that to represent the Odom HaSholem, the man in its totality. And that's why it's Esrim Geira. It's made of 20 Geiros. Now, he told Meisha to command the people that first they must bring a machasis shekel, half of that shekel, 10 Geira. And that they should bring and use that for the copper basis of the crossing of the big beams, which were the structure of the Mishkan. He says that was for the kapora of the physical elements in man, and that's why it was 10, because physically they served the golden calf by bowing to it and dancing in front of it and so forth. And this is why it went for the Adonim, for the basis of the Kroshim, because this represented the core of the physical structure of the Mishkan. What is the physical structure of the Mishkan? The physical structure of the Mishkan was the boards, the beams, the walls, and the foundations of that were these gold, were these copper sockets, and they were all melted down from this half of shekel. So this represented physical man. Then he commanded that they must bring another machasis shekel, a half of shekel, which was also 10 gera, and that represented the non-physical man, the spiritual man, the 10 ingredients which HaKadosh Baruch Hu contributes. And that was to atone, because when they served idolatry, they served it spiritually also. They served it with their seichel, with their intelligence and so forth, with their nefesh. So that came to atone for that, and that was used to buy every year the korbanos hatzibur, the public sacrifices, because it states that the sacrifices were lechaper al nafshei seichem. Sacrifices always come to be lechaper on the nefesh or odom. Now they had an atonement for that. And now the third way they sinned was with their wealth. They made themselves a calf of gold. So they had to bring a third truma, a third offering, which would be an atonement for their wealth, for that act. That third offering was not a dover kotzuf. It was not a set amount like the first two. The first two had to be a half a shekel. Could not be less or more. The third offering was in accordance to a person's wealth. The wealthy brought more. The ones who were not so wealthy brought less. And that went for the Sha'ar Tzorche HaMishkan, to buy the Yud Gimel, the 13 different materials that were used in the Mishkan. Why was that not a Dover Kotzuf? Why was that not a set amount, why the first two were? Very simple. Because when it comes to the 10 elements that the physical man is made from, everyone has those 10 elements. Not more and not less. When it comes to the 10 elements of the spiritual man, everyone has those 10 elements. Not more and not less. But when it comes to a person's wealth, that's different. Everyone has different wealth than the other one. So therefore, that truma which represented that was not a dover kotzer, was not a set amount. We could ask a question. If we say that the truma which was brought for the person's wealth, that was in accordance to his wealth, so then the instruction should have been is that the wealthy should bring more and the poor should bring less. And those who were the multimillionaires, they should bring even more. But that was not the instruction. The instruction consistently was kefi nidvar, kefi nidvosom, kefi nidvar libom. They should bring in accordance to the generosity of their hearts. The generosity of their hearts is not kefi mamayna, is not in accordance to the wealth. So the Maral Hill tells us a great secret, something that we all can benefit from. He says that wealth and poverty is not dependent on how much money a person has or how much money he doesn't have. Wealth and poverty is dependent on how much a person lacks and how much a person does not lack. For example, we have a term which refers to a poor man as an evyon. Evyon comes from the word to'ev. To'ev means something that a person desires very strongly. It's not the same word as tav, it's a different word. To'ev, but it's something that a person needs very badly because he lacks it. Only the evyon, and evyon is someone who needs something because he lacks it. Ashiris wealth is determined by someone who has everything and even too much. That's wealth. Poverty is someone who lacks a tremendous amount. Now, he says, you have wealthy men, multimillionaires, but they are ebyonim. They have needs for much more because they are lacking. He says, that's an ebyon. That's a poor man because look how much he doesn't have. On the other hand, you can have a poor man who says, Daiva, I have too much. I don't need anything more. Then there are certain types of people, you try to give them something. What do I need it for? I have plenty. Here, you take it. That's a person, that's not an ebyon. That's not a person who has a need for more. To the contrary, that's a person who says, I have everything. That's an osher. It was interesting because when Yaakov had his confrontation with Esau, this is in Parshas Vayishlach, so he sent this great, great gift to Esau. So Esau says, what are you giving this me for? Yesh li rav. He says, I have a mighty amount of wealth. Yaakov answered him, I don't need it, yesh li kol. I have everything. Esau had enormous wealth, but not everything. He was still interested in growing that wealth. Yaakov said, yesh li kol. I have everything. I need nothing more. So it comes out, the Maral says it, that if we will analyze this, wealth and poverty is not determined by people's money. Wealth and poverty is determined by the spirit of a person's heart. If a person has a heart of which his heart tells him that I have everything, I have so much that I want to give away, then that's a wealthy person. If a person has a heart that's a lev tov, if a person has a heart that's a lev ra, where he says, I lack, I don't have enough. I still need this and I still need that and I don't have. And because I don't have, I cannot give. How can I give if I don't have? That's a poor man. Regardless of the bank account. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, very good. He says, the word heart is used consistently. He says, those that are not for libom, those that whose heart want to give, take much from them. Because they're the wealthy. Those whose hearts do not want to give, no, don't take much from them, because they're poor, regardless of how much one has. This is what the Chazal tell us, Eze Osher, who is the wealthy? Asomeach Behelke, where he has plenty. Or Eze Osher, Mishi Yeshle Nachas Ruach Me Eishre. Who is the wealthy? Someone who has total enjoyment from his wealth. His wealth gives him so much enjoyment that he says, I have everything. But if you have a person who is very wealthy, but he says, oi, I can't give this away, I can't give this away, because I don't have enough, I'm worried what will be, now that's a poor man. So this is the explanation why it was the third truma was in accordance to the not valibum, in accordance to their hearts. What we've done now is we've answered why HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to say Zeh Yitnu Unsho Meisha Rabbeinu, because Meisha says a coin is whatever the king or the government wants to determine what it is. What should that have to do with Kapora, with atonement and so forth, and Maxis HaShekel and so forth? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, no, this is the Shekel HaKodesh, and he explained them that there's 20 Geiros, 20 in this, and this correlates with the total man. And cut it, give a half of shekel. There should be, you make a coin of a half a shekel, and the half a shekel goes for the physical man. His father and mother contributes 10 elements in the physical man, physical elements, and the other half of shekel goes for the spiritual man, which I contribute, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said. These are 10 spiritual elements. And that is a dover kotzu, that is a set amount, because that's the same by everyone. And the half of shekel, which is going for the physical man, that you must use for the physical structure of the Mishkan, the very physical foundation of it. It was melted down for that. And the half a shekel which was used for the spiritual man, that must lechapel on nafsheisechem, that must atone on the nefesh of the Odom, and that was through the public sacrifices that went into the treasury, and the public sacrifices were brought with that, and that was annual. And the third truma is because they sinned also with their wealth, they must bring an offering from their wealth, and that will be used in accordance for the rest of the needs of the Mishkan. And that will be in accordance to the wealthier will bring more and the poorer will bring less. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu judges the wealthier by what they want to give, and the poorer by what they don't want to give. So therefore that was Asher Nodbo Libom. This is what he had to why he had to show this to Moshe Rabbeinu. We still have a question, though. The Medrash says, "Hera lo shekel shel ish." He showed him a shekel which was made out of fire. What was the distinction? What was the reason? The emphasis? Why? He showed him a shekel, or maxis a shekel, a half a shekel he showed him, which was made from fire. I once heard a very good explanation on this from a very, very dear friend, the late Rabbi Eloy, which he said as follows. When Meisha had difficulty understanding, is here we want to come and use this for the building of the Mishkan and use this to atone on Klal Yisrael, and the Mishkan was the highest level that Klal Yisrael was going to come to, Beis HaMikdash, and Eidus Lachol, the testimony to the world that HaKadosh Baruch Hu dwells with us and no one else. The shekel was a coin. A coin, the Chazal tell us, is made for commerce. It's made only for commercial purposes. For example, gold. The Chazal tell us, what's the difference between gold and silver? Gold was not made for commerce. People did not deal and trade in gold. They trade in silver. All the time, you will always find that the word money is written in Hebrew as kesef. Kesef means silver. And this was the legal
tender.
What?
Tender.
Legal currency for all countries, for all civilized countries, was kesef, silver. And they would mint them into specific amounts in order to make it more consistent to trade it and easier to trade it. And this is what a matbeah is. This is what a coin. A matbeah was made out of silver. It's interesting. Today, there are all kind of questions. Because the Chazal, there are many mitzvahs where you have to pay. And the Chazal gave us the amounts in silver. And today there's all kind of complications. How do we calculate it today? And the Gaon, Vilna Gaon, brings in certain places where he's calculating it, he's saying that it was that amount until they started to be mezayif as a matbeah. It was that amount until they started to defraud the coin. Originally the coin was pure silver. And that was a coin, a certain weight of silver. But later on they started to take a little more silver away and put a little something else in it. Until today, well, this was not, the Gaon is writing this in 1700s, but today we hardly have silver left. It's called silver, but it's all synthetics. It's synthetics today. But silver was silver. It was a weight of silver. And it was used for commercial purposes. So we can understand, Moshe Rabbeinu could understand if you wanted, gold in the Mishkan. Gold, the Chazal tell us, is not from this world. It states that lo hoyo ha'olam kedai. The world was not really, did not really merit the gift of gold in this world.
because gold is from the most beautiful materials of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but he created it for the Mishkan. Okay, understand, it's covered, it's for the honor, it's for beauty. If you want to use the material of silver or copper, okay, also good, you melt it and you use it, it was honor and covered. But you want to use a matbeya, a coin, and for these highest purposes, a coin is used as money. Money is used for commercial reasons. It's good in the marketplace. Well, what's it doing in the Mishkan? So, this is what Meisha was having difficulty. And not only that, look at all the evils that money brings to the world. Shlema Melech and Ke'ele said, "Akesev Yanes Hakol." You can do anything you want in the world. The greatest avedos, if you got money to pay for it. That's what Shlema Melech said. Kesev Yanes Hakol. So here we're using that lachaper al nafsecha. This was Moshe's problem, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed Moshe a coin of fire. Fire, there can be nothing more destructive. The Torah has compared it to a fire. It says, Eish das lomai. Why is the Torah compared to a fire? Because it states that the Torah has azus. The Torah has strength and courage, and there is nothing as strong as fire, because it consumes everything in its path. A fire will never back up and will consume everything in its path. And fire is used for churban, for destruction. The fact is, the Chazal have no other way to explain Gehenna except as the Eish has a fire. But on the other hand, fire is the greatest bracha in the world. The fire comes from the sun. The sun brings warmth to the world. Without the sun, we would be like Mars or Jupiter. There'd be no life. The sun brings life to the world. It nourishes the people. The whole bracha that we have of electricity and everything else that comes from it, this is all coming from fire. Energy comes from fire. So what do we see? We see that it's not that fire is bad. It's not that fire is good. Fire is an enormous power. It merely depends on whose hands is it found. If it's found in the hands of the evil, it becomes the Eshel Gehenna. If it's found in the hands of the righteous, it becomes like the sun, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu created at the creation of the world. So this is what he showed Moshe Rabbeinu. This that you say that a coin, which is money, and that belongs in the marketplace, not in the Mishkan. No. Money, a coin, is a koach, is an enormous power. It can move a world. It moves worlds. But it's neither good or bad. It's a power. It depends whose hands it's in. The Chazal tell us, there's a medrash that states, Godel birchas hakesev, dal yedei ma'at kesev yecheli na'odam liknais maichel u'mishte u'lehach yesh man harbe. Silver has such brocha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave it to. If a person has a little silver, he can go and he can buy himself food and drink that will keep him alive for many days. This is the brocha of silver. The Gemara says that an hanesein pruta l'oni, if you give a pruta to an oni, you save his life. And a sir, someone who gives a pruta to an oni, to a poor person,
And if it's with a good heart, Harezem is Borach, B'yud Alef Brochus. He gets 11 brochus from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Kesev is the same as fire. We find throughout history there were great downfalls from Kesev. Kerach. How did Kerach get the arrogance to stand up against Moshe Rabbeinu? Because he was enormously wealthy, it states. The Medrash brings, someone will say it's a guzma, it's an exaggeration. And I don't know if everybody wants to say that, but the Medrash brings that Korach needed, I forgot the number, but an enormous number of donkeys when he left Egypt just to carry the large keys for his trunks of gold and silver and wealth. See, this is how wealthy he was. He needed a herd of donkeys just to carry the keys. It was this that gave him the arrogance that he thought he could stand up against Moshe Rabbeinu. You know what happened to him? The earth opened up and he was swallowed, he and his family. B'nei Gad, B'nei Reuven, they had great wealth, and therefore they wanted Eber HaYarden, Transjordan, instead of Eretz Yisrael. Because of their wealth, they were willing to give up Nachlas Ovis. What they had was also considered Eretz Yisrael, but it was secondary. It was not the part that was promised to Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Their wealth came first. It states when the Golus came, when Klal Yisrael were driven out of Eretz Yisrael, they were driven out first. This we see all through history. We see so many people. Actually, Rabbi Loy used to say that he said he knew so many families that there was always shalom, peace in the family. Until one day someone died and there was an inheritance. And then there became a fight. And he said, it ruined the family for years. They wouldn't talk to each other. People become wealthy, and who knows what they do with their wealth. I was speaking a while back to my brother on the phone. So he asked me, how's the economy? I said, lousy. She says, he hears a lot of people are leaving. I says, no, they can't leave because the economy is too bad. Then a little later on in the conversation, he says, what is the prognosis? I says, they say that the economy will get very good this year. So it's very good. He says, no, because then the people will start leaving. Where is the brocha? Is the brocha in having the wealth or not having the wealth? It depends what you do with it. There are people who didn't have the wealth, and they had wonderful lives. When they got their wealth, they used it to ruin their lives. The Chofetz Chaim gives a wonderful siman, a wonderful sign. He says, how will you know if wealth is a brocha or not? Because it can be the greatest klala, it's a fire. He says, you know how you know? If it brings you closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If your wealth brings you closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then you know it's a brocha. If it puts you further away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then you should know it's a klala. It was given to you as a test. The Gaon writes, he says, why is it that we see when it comes to money, nobody's given the same amount? Some are fabulously wealthy and some are fabulously poor. You know what he writes? He says the wealthy were given the wealth to be mazaka them, to give them the merit of mitzvah, so they can have the mitzvah of sharing it with the poor. Someone has wealth and it brings him closer to Torah and mitzvahs, then he knows it's a brocha. How many people got wealth like Kerach? They say, I'm so wealthy, and they became arrogant and they didn't want to hear of the poor anymore. Then it's a klola. And the Chofetz Chaim says something else which is very, 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 very a very good insight. He says that one day he noticed in shul that there was a man who used to come every morning to daven and every mincha, marav to daven, and he'd see him in the base of Medrash many times learning One day he noticed he's not coming so often. So he asked him, what's happening? He said, Baruch Hashem, he says, my business has grown. Kodesh Baruch has given me bracha. So my business has grown. Sometimes I can't get away from work now till from my business till late. So I miss Minchan Maariv. And sometimes I'm up very late now. So I can't come in the morning. And sometimes you don't see me at all because now I go to far off places for big business deals. So the Chofetz Chaim told him, he says, you know, it's a strange thing. He says, if there's a king and he has a servant, and the servant is very loyal, the servant went and risked his life for him. So the king said, I want to you know that what you did does not go by unseen. I'm very aware of your loyalty to me, especially when others were not loyal to me, and I want to reward you. I have a beautiful estate with forests and gardens and lakes. I'm going to give it to you, and it'll be for you and your children. What would the reaction be of that person? Would he become even more loyal to the king and work even harder for the king? Or would he become disloyal? He says he'll become even a better servant, more loyal and work even harder. He says, here HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Chofetz Chaim told this man, he recognized what a good servant you were. You used to come to davening in the morning, and you came in the evening, and you used to come in the Beis HaMedrash and learn. So he didn't want that to go by unnoticed. So therefore he decided he's going to reward you. So he gave you prosperity. So what do you do with it? You turn around and become a disloyal servant. You don't have time to come in the morning to shul. You don't have time to come in the afternoon. You don't have time to learn anymore. He says, are you talking? What kind of seichel is this? What kind of seichel is this? This is what the Chofetz Chaim told him. I recall, let me conclude with this, what I heard, but you could see what a person can do with money. When I was visiting, not long ago, a few years ago, I was in America, I was visiting my Rebbe, my Rosh Yeshiva, Reb Mordechai Gifter, he should be well. And I was speaking to his Rebbetzin. Now his Rebbetzin was the daughter of Reb Zalman Bloch. Reb Zalman was from the tells the Rosh Yeshiva's families. Rabbi Yosef Leib was the Rosh Yeshiva, and he had three sons. Rabbi Zalman was the oldest, and he had become the Mashgiach of the Yeshiva. And I saw a picture on the wall of a man that I didn't recognize, and never very familiar with the tells of families, didn't recognize. So I asked the Rebbetzin, who is that man? So she said, that's my grandfather. She said, that's my mother's father. Zalman married the daughter of that man. I said, where was he from? She said, Kharkov. Kharkov was a city in Russia. Oh, okay. She said, he was the most outstanding businessman. Anything he touched turned to gold. He owned forests. This was in the time before communism. This was probably in the time of the Tsar. There were a lot of wealthy Jews. He owned forests and land. He was as wealthy as anything. So then she told me further. What did he do with his wealth? He, in his city, had a private old age home that he built himself for the Zakenim, for the old people of the city, which he charged nothing for them. That's what he did. Imagine. He built an old age home and ran the old age home. He wouldn't take money from anyone. That was his project. He financed it. His own old age home. That was one thing he did. She said, I'll tell you what else he did. When the son of the Tel Zerob was making the shidduch between his daughter and the son of the Tel Zerob, so he said, if this shidduch goes through, I myself will support Tel Zer Yeshiva for 3 years. She told me, finance the yeshiva for 3 years. This is the bracha of money. So this is why HaKadosh Baruch Hu firstly showed the Moshe what the Machasis HaShekel was, and he had to explain all of the wisdom in it, but he showed it in a sign of fire. Fire is neither good or bad. The money is neither good or bad, but it's enormous power from the greatest powers. If Shlema Melech, King Solomon, says, I guess if Yanes HaKol, that you can buy anyone with money. You see the power. You see kings have fought over wealth. If it's good or bad, that's not the money, that's the person. That depends what he will do with it. Here HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I want Klal Yisrael to do good things with it. If they do good things with it, it'll have a place in my Mishkan, Lechaper al Nafshisechem, to bring atonement to them. So these are some of the principles that we learned from the Truma, the Gimel, the three Trumas, and the Maxis HaShekel.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information, or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@yGj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at PO Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.